Well, good morning, 97.1, Jim Costa with John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov, and Greg behind the glass. Settle in on a Wednesday. Good morning.
Good morning. How's it going?
Good.
Hump day's here. Let's go. We're running downhill from this point on to another college football weekend, another NFL weekend. We've got Thursday night football right around the corner. Who couldn't be more excited about that?
I mean, the week flies by. It's great. Football's back. And it also helps when the Tigers are playing relevant baseball. They got a win. You heard in the update, 11 runs for the Tigers offense. Cater Montero, not bad.
That performance.
9 innings and under 100 pitches. Nice, tidy, get up, get out, move, get the game going.
And that was a fast game, too. I mean, it was, obviously, you retire 27 of 27 with a couple of double plays in there. It's going to be a quick game, but man, it went quick.
Yeah, that's a good performance by him. Unexpected. All of this has been unexpected, right?
Yeah, I mean, go back to, we don't have to do the whole, history of the season, but the run at the beginning of just before the All-Star break, the run coming out of the All-Star break, we thought it was cute and it was fun. And then it was the trade deadline. We talked about it at the time. Could this team be a 90-plus loss team?
You got to understand why we were saying it, right? I mean, they sold and then they lost a bunch of games in a row, including a couple to the Royals.
Right.
And it made you realize, like, oh, and they were ugly losses to the Royals. This is going to go south. But it's a testament to these guys, these young players who maybe don't know any better, who are just going out there playing ball and they've rallied. This is a real honest to goodness rally for the Tigers.
You don't think that they don't know that they're not supposed to be doing this?
Yeah, I don't think they do. Nobody gave them the memo. You're a 90-loss baseball team and you're supposed to die and the season's
right.
over. They didn't get that memo. And it's great. John, in the heart of the summer, it's funny. We don't want to go back into the dark doldrum days of the summer. There was a show where we opened up and I asked you your thoughts on a safe word.
Yeah.
It was a big step in our relationship here. And I asked if you wanted a safe word on the show. Today, I want to ask you if you're into labels. Because I have a label for this Tigers baseball team and I want to know if you are ready for it.
I'm not really big into labels, but I'll have an open mind.
You'll humor me.
An open mind. I might want to try everything at least once. See what happens.
Interesting. I'll file that away. John, I would like to label this team, or at the very least, they're giving me Team of Destiny vibes. Are you starting to get the sense?
Team of Destiny?
Because I can't explain it, John. In the month of September, Brant Herter has thrown the most innings for this baseball team. They've had appearances from someone named Brian Hanafy, Sean Gunther. Who are these people? Seriously, who are these people? ERA for September is 1.92. They are top 10 in runs scored in September. In the last 30 days, they're 19-9. It doesn't make sense. I'm not asking it to make sense. I'm just saying that feels a little TOD. That feels a little Team of Destiny. Because they're not this good on paper.
No.
How else do you explain it?
I think a Team of Destiny would be a little bit better than, like, maybe they'd already be in that play. I don't know.
I don't know if I'm ready to go there.
They a team of destiny if Parker Meadows is doing what he was supposed to be doing at the beginning of the year? Riley Green is an all-star. Colt Keith, all right, at the end of the year, he's showing some resiliency. Jace Young.
To the label.
No.
I believe that's premature. I can see where you're going with that.
Oh, premature labeling.
Yeah, like they need to make the playoffs for that because it's irrelevant if they don't. Like,
sure.
You can say growth for next year and experience and a race and all those are good little things, but for destiny, that's making the playoffs.
You have to finish, but I'm saying, there's
borderline a Major League, the movie, feel to this.
That's what I'm saying. The vibe here is like, how?
And I think internally they've got the LFG going right now.
If it's borderline Major League, who's the poster in the locker room?
Oh, you want me to get fired?
Yeah. I'll ask again.
Greg doesn't like me. He officially just declared it. Greg says nothing. He immediately said yes to that.
Greg gave us the thumbs up.
He's like, could you please?
I mean, it's a legitimate question.
Why don't you answer it?
I asked it.
Mr. Ballou?
Here's where I think we've reached.
I asked a question.
I think we're reaching a critical juncture.
Maybe we let our texters answer that one.
It's the Little Caesar logo.
Pizza.
They hold the two pizzas up for the home runs.
No, what I would say is we've reached this critical juncture where they're within three. They're playing winning baseball. It's hard to define. It's hard to explain. So I think Team of Destiny vibes. If you don't want to go all the way and say they're the Team of Destiny, I respect that they actually have to finish this out. But they're in this in a way that I never thought they would be. And I don't know if people are buying in. I saw some photos of the crowd yesterday on a Tuesday night. Wasn't much. I don't know if people have bought all the way in yet. Their playoff percentage as of today from Fangraphs, it's not 50%. It's not 40%. It's 10%. They have a 10% chance to make the playoffs. So maybe people aren't bought in yet. And I respect it. Listen, I understand this team's deficiencies. We all do. But they're in it right now in a way that I quite frankly didn't expect.
Well, I didn't expect it. And I think you've got to make the determination if you're going to go and buy into the Team of Destiny mantra.
Mm-hmm.
Three back with 17 to go. With nine games. I mean, I hate to be the wet blanket or the reality check, but they've got six games against the Baltimore Orioles, who are competing for the league, for the lead in the American League. And you're looking at it going... American League East.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking at going, okay, they need those games to try and overtake the Yankees as much as the Tigers need the games to get into a wild card spot. Now, is the level of desperation for the Orioles as high? No, but they're a much more talented team.
Oh, absolutely they are.
And then they've got three against Kansas City, who is actually fighting to stay in the playoffs.
What if I told you the Tigers have a better record the last 30 days than the Baltimore Orioles?
I would believe that.
I'm saying like that's unexplainable.
I think, John, you're afraid that they're not going to survive those two series. There's no evidence to say that Orioles are going to just hammer the Tigers. Like, why would that happen? The way both teams are playing, the Orioles haven't been able to pull away from the Yankees. The Yankees lost last night to the Royals. You know, nobody's pulling away from anybody.
Because
I think today is a very pivotal day. The Twins and Royals do not play tomorrow. And I think psyche-wise, if you can gain one today, and then you go into tomorrow with Scooble pitching, you put this thing 1.5 out going to Friday.
But logic tells me, and logic tells me otherwise. Logic tells me that at some point, the group effort days are going to bite you in the backside.
It's been going on for 30 days.
I keep waiting for that. I don't get it.
Okay, but I mean, again, how long can it last? Or because asked a question, no. Do they go with this process, this theory of with a starter, or I don't know what they're labeling the starters, next year? Because, I mean, I think that they've got to go out and sign at least one, if not a couple of arms, in the offseason. But if the group effort days are working, then why would you change the theory going forward?
Okay, the question of is this sustainable or not? I've thought that for a month plus. I started going back. They have a 60% win percentage since July 5th. In the last 30 days, they're 19-9. The Orioles are 13-15. What the F is going on?
Like the trends point that this is real, okay? Parker Meadows, the numbers, the win total, their record when he plays.
Right, it's astronomical.
Last night, he leads it off with a homer, gets it going right away. There was no question they were ready to win this game and knock it out quick last night. Everything's trending the right way. It just comes down to the numbers. The number crunch is you got to get to 85 or plus wins. And now what they've put in to play is if the Twins go 8-9 the rest of the way, 500 baseball basically, they win 85. So now it is getting reasonable. What makes no sense is, can the Tigers put a 12-5 finish on top of what they've just done?
Right. 248-539-9797. Are you feeling any Team of Destiny vibes? Is it too soon? Are you not there yet? And if not, just explain what's going on then, because they just keep finding ways to win. Montero goes complete game. I mean, that doesn't happen every day. That doesn't happen for seasons at a time.
I'm not. You are. And my heart says 100%. But my brain says... slow down.
Stupid brain getting away everything. All right, 248-539-9797.
You rarely my problem.
Well, We're going to need some brain power from you. 635, the power surge. Where do the Lions stack up with the NFL heavyweights? We'll get to that at 635. We have Lions tickets to give away today. Be listening for your chance later this hour. We'll tell you how to win them. It's 97.1.
We got so many great games this weekend, starting on Thursday night, Bills-Dolphins, and then obviously traveling through Sunday, Lions-Bucks. Why not watch all of them in front of a 40-foot massive TV, high definition, in one of, I don't know, six different pools that you have a chance to get. It's whether it's a cabana, a day bed, you could grab a lounge. They're all right in the middle of the action. That's Circa Resort and Casino. It's Stadium Swim. It is a viewing experience absolutely built for sports fans, but especially football fans. We're a special breed. Swim-up bars, insta-ready selfie walls, one nonstop party. I mentioned, you can grab your cozy day bed, grab a cabana. All of those are available, and you can reserve your spot today. It's 365 days of sports poolside, located at Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim, all sports, all seasons. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Dan Dickerson, Kader Montero, nine innings, gave up only three hits, five strikeouts, no walks, and he did it on 96 pitches.
Beautiful.
Far be it for me to correct Dan Dickerson, who is a legend.
Right.
The Tigers have had a complete game in the last 8 years. Spencer Turnbull threw a no-hitter. That's a complete game. That's nine innings.
I got to believe he just missed the at home.
Right, because that was in Seattle.
Right.
Yeah, Turnbull was.
Yeah. So I didn't double check the discount double check. I didn't do that. But yeah, out of you know, memory, I gotta believe it's just this first shutout. I mean, first complete game at home.
That would make sense. Yeah, it was a great call.
Oh yeah,
great performance. More importantly, and I gave the Tigers a label today. I'm feeling some Team of Destiny vibes. Ticket Texter says, this Tigers team is giving me 2022 Lions vibes. Struggle early, exciting late. Won't make the playoffs, but it'll make you feel really good going into next season.
Yeah, as from the player's perspective, from AJ, sure.
Time for a fish fry, fellas.
Oh.
Walleye's dead. Let's enjoy it.
Oh, fry him up, baby. Nothing better than a fish Friday night fish fry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, by Friday night too, they could be 1.5.
I got a question.
Two?
Sure.
Why is John afraid of the Orioles?
They hit lots of home runs. They have great bats.
20 games above 500. It's not like they're some juggernaut team.
Okay.
They don't have Kader Montero.
That's right. All right, Sunday.
Because I logic tells me otherwise.
12:10, Tigers Orioles, Comerica Park. 1:00, Lions Buccaneers.
Lions.
Yeah, my emphasis is on the Lions, yeah, too.
I know it is. But what if the Tigers capture the wild card?
You're saying like all the way, like we have a playoff game on a Sunday and the Lions are playing?
No. The Lions or the Tigers officially become
playoff eligible.
Yes.
I mean, they're playoff eligible, but they're actually
you guys take it serious,
at the cut
then?
Line. Yeah, I mean,
you still be afraid of the Orioles?
Yes, because talking about the Orioles or the Yankees is different than talking about Minnesota or Kansas City, and I mean, it's a different class, and I understand that it's 162 games. And you add them up at the end, and you see who's got the best records, and then you put them in. But they've just been more consistent. Now, okay, over the past 28 games, they're 13-15 versus what the Tigers are. I understand that, but that's also a small portion of the season. They have a longer track record of being better than the Tigers. So, yeah, they worry me.
What was your July 5th set?
Here, I have a chicken scratch on one of these sheets. 34-23. Which is like a 60% clip.
It's a pretty big sample size.
And if you go from August 3rd, which is when things...
But from March until now.
Thanks, John.
But then that's what the Orioles and the Yankees are. They're just 20 over. They're nothing special.
From August 3rd, they're 22-12. 22-12 since August 3rd, 19-9 in the last 30 days. This is not like, oh, they had a hot weekend or maybe a 10-day stretch.
Now, okay, so from your point of view right now, if you flip if we're doing Baltimore radio and you're saying, hey, we're in this race with the Yankees for the lead in the American League East, are you concerned, are you worried about the six games that you have, three on the road, three at home against the Detroit Tigers? I actually think they would say yes, because the Tigers are playing really good baseball right now and they're hot. That would concern me versus what the Yankees are doing or facing.
See, I think the perspective from the outside, from virtually everybody, is that this is just cute for the Tigers, that they're doing something for next year. This was nice. It's a cool, fun story. Good for them. Feel good story, blah, blah. I think internally, I think they've got something clicking. I do. I really do. And that's why I said your team of destiny thing, I think it's premature, because I don't know if they can finish the deal because of the math.
I mean, the math says 10%.
But if there was 172 games, I think the Tigers would make the playoffs. I do.
So it's more than it was yesterday.
Yeah, it's 10% chance today on FanGraphs.
I do think.
Was it yesterday, 9.7%?
Yeah.
I do think this is the Lions of 2022 all over again. I'm not saying that the Tigers will necessarily take off next year potentially like that, but I think the Tigers are finishing like the Lions did that year. They've got something going on.
This isn't like the Red Wings
in the clubhouse.
This isn't like the Red Wings who finished on the edge losing a bunch of games. This is teams winning.
Yeah.
Like the Lions in 22, the Tigers right now.
I'm just not in the same place you are.
We'll get you there. Let's get to Heather in the news.
Well, boys, four former Michigan football players, including Braylon Edwards and Denard Robinson, are suing the NCAA and Big Ten Network over money made off their name, image, and likeness. So they're seeking more than $50 million. And this is a class action lawsuit. It was filed on Tuesday morning on behalf of former U of M players who played prior to 2016. And the suit states that both the NCAA and Big Ten Network made money off of plays made by these four former players in commercials, in other promotional material, without their consent on financial compensation.
I don't know where this ends, because I can see why this is not going to be it's not the first, it's not going to be the last of lawsuits like this. I mean, how far back does it go? I mean, you're talking about, right. Braylon was in, what, 2001 was the earliest of this group of four former players. Does Charles Woodson get in on something like this? Because obviously NCAA, Big Ten made money off of what he did.
What about you, John?
Well, they didn't make as much, but
my point is, if they show a game from '97 and that's the season people want to replay.
No, I agree. Yeah. And
do you feel like you're owed money?
I don't know if I can answer that right
now.
I haven't really thought about it. But I have thought that these are going to happen. And if they keep going like this, why not jump on the bandwagon? I don't know if I'm willing to do that or not yet.
So I've often thought athletes needed to get a bigger cut.
Yeah.
And they are getting more money now with name, image, and likeness. But I don't know that you can go back in time and apply rules today.
If you were wrong then... And they're saying that you were. It's just going to depend on what's the precedent that will be set. How far back are they going? Because House, this whole thing, House versus the NCAA, is right now, I think, going back to 2019. And so that was my question. Why was that the arbitrary date of, well, we're only going to go back to 2019.
Right.
Why not go back even further?
Right. Eminem is releasing an expanded edition of his latest album, The Death of Slim Shady, and it will be out this Friday, Friday the 13th. Huh. So the album was teased with the trailer posted on Twitter, and that album, The Death of Slim Shady, was released in July. It debuted at number one on Billboard's top 200 albums. It produced three singles, done very, very, very well for him, and you can watch him perform tonight at the VMAs.
Are you guys superstitious at all?
No.
No, so Friday the 13th doesn't mean anything to you?
No.
Just an anomaly?
You?
Huh. No,
I'm not. Is this the athlete in you? I didn't know if you were like, oh, I had to wear the same.
No.
No.
No, I don't believe in superstitions and all that stuff. But
you didn't have a lucky jock strap or something?
Oh, gosh. Let's not talk about that.
No, I did not.
Okay. I did have
almost 100% of the time the same meal or same routine.
Sure, a routine.
But it was more of a comfort level of getting myself ready versus if I didn't have it, I didn't think, oh, today's going to be a bad day.
Which I think is pretty normal for most people, even in non-sports worlds.
Like, I think it's comfortable on everybody on a daily basis.
Yes, I agree. The Detroit Zoo's first ever baby gorilla has a name.
Oh.
Motema.
What?
She's been named. So there was all sorts of different names. Remember? I don't know if you remember. We were on location when I was doing the story. There was like six names people could go and vote on, and they were all I couldn't even pronounce half of them because they were all...
Is it a female gorilla?
It means heart in this other language.
So let's go with heart.
No.
Who's named their kid Heart? Isn't there a...
It's like a celebrity you're thinking of?
Yeah. Who's the actress who has the scents, the weird scented candles?
Oh, Gwyneth Paltrow. Yes. Apple.
Yeah, Apple. Oh, okay. It's yes. Apple. Lamp. Yeah. I love Lamp.
Oh my gosh. So the name was announced, John, on social media 2 weeks after the public selected it. The zoo wrote, "Thank you to everyone who voted. Your donations help support gorilla conservation efforts all around the world." So in order to vote, you had to make a donation.
Oh.
That's how your vote counted. Anyway, you can go see her at the zoo.
Did either of you consider Motema for your children's names?
No.
It was on the list.
Okay.
Yeah. No, the girls are a little older, so the whole weird name thing didn't really come in vogue until we had dudes. So
okay. I didn't know if it was just off the list.
It was. It was on the board even at the hospital. Yeah, me. Yeah.
Consideration, yeah. But ultimately
went with
Emily. Yeah. All right. That's Heather with the news. Coming up next, it's the Power Surge. It's 97.1.
You guys, I have such a cool story to share with you. I was talking to Dr. Berkowitz from Michigan Hair Restoration, and he told me about this wedding he was just at. Said, really nice wedding downtown. And then he said one of his patients came up to him so excited to introduce Dr. B to his fiance. He continued on to say that his hair restoration treatment with Dr. B changed his life, and that it was because of his newfound confidence that he was able to go online and meet her. And then a little while later at that exact same wedding, another one of Dr. B's patients came up to him with almost the exact same story, but they were married already. And this patient was excited to introduce Dr. B to his wife, who he says he wouldn't have met if he didn't go to see Dr. B. How cool is that? And you know what? Your life is waiting for you on the other side of your hair loss treatment. With a full head of hair that you can run your hands through, who knows what you'll have the confidence to do. So go to MichiganHairRestoration.com today and schedule your consult with Dr. B. That's MichiganHairRestoration.com.
Middle of the week, we take inventory. John Jansen's Power Surge. The NFL rankings. This music, I love when it kicks in.
Oh, yeah.
Dunna, dunna.
So last week, I gave you some that were just on the outside looking in. And as a review, going into week one, Kansas City was 1, Detroit 2, Baltimore 3, Philly 4, Houston 5, San Francisco 6. The teams that were on the outside looking in, and I was curious as to what they would be this past week. In 1 week of NFL football, Cincinnati, didn't know if Jamar Chase was playing. He ultimately did, but they lost. Cleveland, wow. Green Bay, Atlanta, and the Rams were all on the outside looking in. So this week, we do have some movement in the top six, but... And I'll when I'm done, I'll say some of the teams that are just on the outside looking in. But number six for me is Dallas.
Oh,
they make their first appearance because it was a dominant performance, but it is in season Dak.
It was against Deshaun Watson.
Okay, fine. But I do have respect for Cleveland's offensive line. I think it's well put together. I think they had a couple injuries.
So they were banged up.
But I can't trust Dak, so I don't know that they ever go any higher than six. Dallas defense, to me, is legit.
Sure.
But I just don't know if I can trust them offensively. So I put them in at six. And some of it is because some of the other teams have lost. And it's week two, right? We only have one game to go off of. Number five, Baltimore. They did lose, but they remain in my top six. They fell down from number three. And it, when I look at them, I see Lamar Jackson. He's really good, and he's a lot of fun. It's kind of like Dak Prescott. You got regular season Lamar, but this is also big game Lamar. The big issue is he can't ultimately make the play that matters the most. They ultimately lost. I think they're a well-rounded team, offense, defense, special teams. But again, they lost. Lamar is a large part. I thought they would be much better offensively, and they were early on with Derrick Henry doing the read option, as I kind of predicted, but then they got away from it. What are you doing? It's working. Don't go away from it. So part of their drop is not only they lost, but it's a play offensive play caller. What the hell are you thinking? Number four for me, the Houston Texans. And don't be surprised that they keep working their way up. C.J. Stroud, another really good performance. No sophomore slump at this point. 200 yards apiece running the ball and throwing the ball. You want to talk about a balanced offense that's hard to defend. When you guys, when you have a guy like Nico Collins that is making catch, I mean, circus catches, you throw in Stephon Diggs, and then you look at what, you know, they did on the ground, it's a tough offense. So I've got them. And defensively, they're able to pressure the passer.
Mm-hmm.
I did drop Detroit down one spot to number three, and I thought that their performance against the Rams was good. It wasn't, to me, it didn't knock your socks off. It did, obviously, in overtime, but there are, you know, four quarters leading up to that where they played good football. I think defense has improved. There's a lot of things. And I love Dan's comment yesterday about it could have been high school tackles. We still weren't getting home. They did still hit Matthew Stafford a number of times. So they come in at number three for me. San Francisco, They're the ones that took the big jump for me, because I was curious, without Trent Williams and not being in football shape. Now, I don't think he played his best game. There were a couple of things in there, you know, down in the red zone, down at the goal line, later in the game where I didn't like what he was doing, but still, you know, obviously really good. I think he just got wore down. But no Christian McCaffrey. Ayuk coming in, only having 1 week of practice. Didn't really like how Brock Purdy played in the preseason. I liked how he played in that first regular season game. And they are, I mean, you want to talk about a team that's built offensively, defensively, and special teams, they're legit. So San Francisco comes in at number two. And here's the other thing. Kyle Shanahan, I love how he is calling the plays. I love the sequencing. I love the motions. I love everything about his offense. Number one, Kansas City. No surprise. They stay at number one. They hit the ground running. Now, is it because, and Detroit at three, did they fall off because they didn't play in the preseason and maybe the passing game wasn't as crisp as it needed to be? That's part of it. Kansas City did play in the preseason, and they 100% hit the ground running. Chris Jones defensively, you can line him up anywhere, and they're not missing L'Jarius Sneed. I thought that was a heavyweight bout. And they were a team that just kind of felt like they were playing with Baltimore a little bit. So, and obviously Patrick Mahomes, I don't know if you've realized this, but he's good.
I think he's, John, he's very good.
Some of the teams that are just on the outside looking in, I don't have Philadelphia.
Yeah, that was the first team I wrote down. I know Hurts threw a couple interceptions, but Barkley's a difference maker. Yep. The defense is not as bad as it was a year ago. They dropped them. They had interceptions they left on the table. That's a surprise you left them out to me.
Well, I left them out simply because Jalen Hurts, last year, turnovers were an issue. He threw two interceptions, laid the ball on the ground two more times, recovered one, but he turned the ball over himself three times. And I don't think, you know, I don't think Green Bay was able to take advantage. If they're playing another team, I don't know that they win that game, and they might have gotten blown out in the first quarter because all of those turnovers happened early. Are they fixable? Yes, but it's a cautionary tale. I caution Eagles fans, NFL fans. Jalen Hurts has had this going on for some time now. He's getting used to a new offense, new play caller, new center, which does matter. And we'll get a chance to see, you know, how he continues. The Chargers, I think injuries and the history of injuries, J.K. Dobbins, is he a guy that you can rely on for 17 weeks? I don't know. The offensive line, Bosa on defense, looked good in week one. Obviously came away with the win, but it didn't look like a top six team in the NFL to me. Miami, surprised to see that they struggled with Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
20-17, absolutely no run game. And if there last year they were able to generate some pretty good performances in the run game, nothing on Sunday. So if you're one-dimensional, even though that dimension can be really good, I just don't know that you're a team that I'm going to trust. And defensively, I don't trust them right now either.
Tua missed some throws in that game too. It had me thinking, yep. This is the guy you paid? The team I'm shocked you didn't mention, John, and maybe they're the next team on your cut list here, the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen, 4 touchdowns, new group of weapons,
but
they came roaring back and won the game.
Yeah, Josh Allen with 4 touchdowns, but Josh Allen is going to have to do Josh Allen things, and we've seen in week one, he's already, and on a short week, he's going to be playing with a bum left wrist. Now, it's not his throwing wrist, but I just don't know that we can trust them. I'm not ready to trust them week in, week out.
The Lions and Niners, I would not have changed that. I think the Lions beat the better team by far. I don't buy the Jets. I'm not buying. I haven't seen the Jets do anything. And it's the respect of the beating the Jets is.
It was a matter of crispness and performance and depth when you see a guy come in for CMC and just absolutely run off 150 yards. To me, that is the sign of a great play caller and a really good offensive line. And their guards, who I did not expect to play at the level that they played at. I mean, they might have found a gem. Was it the third round?
Third round Kansas guard, Dominic Pooney. He looked really good.
Yeah.
And just Tom, that would be my point. I'm with John. I'll defend John's swap there. Jets defense is really good.
Really?
I mean, the last couple years.
They made the 49ers punt once. They're really, really good, aren't they?
Okay, Tom, how about this? The Jets for years have been a great defense.
You're still reacting to last year.
I'm reacting to Monday night.
I'm not going to argue about rankings,
30 points. Come on.
The Jets defense is good. Well, guess what? Maybe they're not good this year. This is this year. This isn't last year. And that's the thing with these rankings. And arguing over rankings is a little silly, but I would, I would put Dallas 4, Philly 5. And then Baltimore 6.
I think you could drop Baltimore out because they lost. But
I understand that, but they lost to the Kansas City Chiefs
your number
and they
one
made
team.
It a game, and it was a play at the end. They were a little toenail away from winning that game. But, I also have the Rams on the outside looking in. Obviously, they lost to Detroit. But I think the Rams are a much better team than I thought they were going to be this year. But, again, you're talking about health. Banged up offensive line, and is Matthew Stafford going to be able to go 17 weeks by just simply getting the ball out as quickly as he was? Teams will adjust. Detroit did adjust, and I just don't know that he's going to stay healthy, let alone be able to do what they did.
It's the Power Surge. It's 97.1. We'll have Michigan head coach Sharon Moore on this morning, 7:35. Thoughts as they pick up the pieces from Texas. What about Jaden Davis? What about his contract? We'll get to that, 7:35. Tarek Skubal will join the show today, 9:35. Make some time for that. John, we have Lions tickets to give away.
It was obviously a big hit last week. It'll be a big one today.
Hot, hot ticket. In the next hour, you'll have your chance to win these tickets. Here's how to win. Listen for your chance. You're going to want to hear Greg Hargrave's drop of an elite unit.
Oh.
When you hear Greg reference an elite unit, mm-hmm. you'll call in. It's a pair of tickets. It's from the Bullseye Event Group, and they've got their VIP tailgate that's going on right now. They've got all-you-can-eat food. They got an open bar. It's 3 hours before each Lions game. Go to bullseyeeventgroup.com for tickets. It's the Lions VIP tailgate. We're going to have tickets on Friday as well, too, so if you don't win them today, you got 2 chances this week. Good luck.
Yeah, good luck.
John, you had the Lions third in your...
My power rankings.
Power surge.
Yeah, power surge. Yep.
And Tom had an issue that you overreacted to week one. We only have week one.
We do only have week one.
And the Niners were the crisper team. They scored more points. They had a greater margin of victory. That's not a knock on the Lions. It's an acknowledgement. San Francisco looked better in week one.
Yeah. Through 1 week, they looked better. And now we're trying to figure out how good are the Rams. I think the Rams are really good. Did they beat a better opponent? Probably. Did they face a better defense? I don't think so. But this is where we are in week one is we're trying to decide. Cincinnati, they have a tradition now of losing the first game. But it doesn't mean that their season is in the tank and that they're not a good team. I didn't even talk about them as just being on the outside looking in. Green Bay, I think they're were a good team. Now, I don't know. I don't think they're going to be with Malik Willis running the offense, who's been there for all of about, 16, 17 days. So things are going to drop off there. But there are some other teams that we're trying to figure out what they are. Indianapolis.
Yeah.
I think they're a good team. And I think Anthony Richardson has an absolute rifle for an arm. They're a good defense, but they ended up losing to Houston. Was it just because Houston was so balanced offensively? Couldn't defend them? Couldn't find a way, but they were right there.
Can I give you the context of everybody else's power rankings, and we'll see how you did compared to the consensus?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I appreciate when someone else does the work for us, so I'll give them the credit. Pride of Detroit actually compiled all the other major sites' power rankings.
Oh, thank you very much.
So, hey, good stuff there.
Yeah, and I specifically don't look at those because I don't want to have somebody else's rankings in my head, which might affect mine.
The Lions, according to Monday Morning Quarterback from Connor Orr, the Lions are 2. They were 2 last week.
Okay.
USA Today's Nate Davis had the Lions at 2 last week. They stay at 2. Mm-hmm. Yahoo Sports had the Lions at 2 last week. John, like you, they bumped them down to 3.
Okay.
The Athletic had the Lions number 2 to kick off the season. They moved them all the way down to 5.
Wow. Ouch.
The Ringer had the Lions 2 last week and 2 this week. Sporting News 3 last week and 3 this week. That from Vinny Iyer. The 33rd team, which is like a newer site that's on the scene now, they had the Lions 3rd. And still 3rd, just to round this out, NFL.com has the Lions 3rd, CBS Sports has the Lions 4th. Everybody's got them in the top 5.
Yeah, those that have them 3rd, are they also, is it Kansas City and San Francisco 1-2?
Pride of Detroit didn't do that work for me, so I mean.
I
can click on it if you'd like.
No, that's okay.
But yeah, I would assume, right?
Right.
They're the reigning NFC champs, and they looked good in week one.
Yeah.
They're probably, if not the Lions, going to be the team ahead of them.
And some of it to me was the fact that I had major questions. One, about the health of Christian McCaffrey, what that would mean for them offensively. Last year, he goes down. Now, I know they also lost Trent Williams and I think it was Deebo Samuel at the same time. So you're talking about a major part of their offense. They end up losing 3 in a row. And all of a sudden, Christian McCaffrey comes back and all is well with the world again. I am concerned throughout the course of the year with the, you know, Achilles / calf soreness. I don't know how they're labeling it in San Francisco, that it will affect him throughout the course of the entire season. How many games does he play? How effective is he? And, you know, but they were able to overcome that. And the fact that, you know, Trent Williams is only going to get better. I think Brandon Ayuk, there were some drops. I think those, the more reps he gets, the more balls thrown to him, he's only going to continue to get better. So, yeah, I think this is a team in San Francisco that, quite honestly, hit the ground running I didn't think would.
Let's get to the phones. John and Canton, you got a thought on this Lions team?
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, I just wanted to say Zeidler, man, what an asset he is. I just watched the overtime over again last night, and that one play down by the goal line where they pushed that whole scrum, he was right in the middle down there. I mean, just, you know, powering their way. You know, I think him and Sewell together, they're going to be unstoppable.
I think in the run game, you're exactly right. I was a little concerned. Now, it was only a couple of reps, and it does take some time to develop more chemistry with your, you know, whether it's Frank at the middle or Sewell on the other side. The twist that the Rams ran to get the sack
early in the game, yeah.
Early in the game, I didn't like how he turned his shoulders. Now, you know, it's one play. It raised a red flag for me that I'm not sure in the pass protection he's able to move his feet well enough to adjust off of some of those.
The trade-off, though, him versus Jonah Jackson.
I'll take Zeidler. Right. Yes, I think that's an upgrade. To his point, it's yes, it's a great asset and a great upgrade.
And I think, too, there's two levels of it. It's what he did for the Lions, and it's what the Rams missed on Thursday last week. They missed him.
Yes, and one-on-one pass pro, I thought he did great. It's just a matter that we're talking about some of the nuance and how teams will continue to attack. They're not going to rush Penei Sewell straight up. That you just no win situation.
Do a brick wall. Good luck.
Right, but if we can get them on different levels, if we can get a defensive tackle to hit Penei Sewell's hip, turn the shoulders of the guard, and then bring the defensive end edge rusher around, I think we'll see more of that until Zeidler proves that he can pick it up.
Stay listening for your chance to win Lions tickets. We're going to talk more Lions at 7:02. The standard of the Super Bowl. How did that performance measure up? It's 97-1.